Go. What is there more? Is that it?
That's it.
Oh,
that's my prediction.
So
Brody, back to you. What's prediction number two?
Thank God.
Hello and welcome to the Press Start podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, aka Mario1. And I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
Shannon.
Hello.
And Brody.
Hello.
Today on the show, we're going to be discussing our impressions so far of Mario Kart World and Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Tour. Rather exciting. It is Nintendo Switch 2 week, that is for sure, in case you weren't watching the YouTube video and already seeing what's going on here. We also do have a slew of new game cancellations to discuss, but let's start with our main topic of the day, our Summer Game Fest predictions. It is right around the corner. It's no longer just one showcase, if it ever was. It's a series of showcases that kind of span like a week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm kind of losing track at this point, admittedly. But we have the Summer Game Fest showcase taking place Saturday at 7 a.m. here on the east coast of Australia, which is 6:30 a.m. Central, 5 a.m. Western. There's also an Xbox showcase, a PC gaming showcase, plenty. There's word of a PlayStation State of Play. Maybe Nintendo will have a direct like the day or two after the Switch 2 drops
Elder
as well.
Elder Scrings incoming, you.
Elder Scrings. I haven't stumbled over my words yet so far in the podcast, but it took all of about five seconds last week if you haven't already seen that clip. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to kind of go around the circle. We can each share kind of a prediction at a time, I think, until we've all done our three sort of predictions, and we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks and report back. For reference, I do have our 2025 prediction notes to hand. So if any of you double up, I will call you out on it. But let's just try and keep it kind of short term. What's about to happen the next couple of weeks?
So don't mention Banjo-Kazooie, I suppose.
Did you mention Banjo-Kazooie?
I must have.
No, you didn't. Really? You did predict that Marathon launch would struggle to gain traction and fail to find an audience, which is looking more likely by the day.
Wow.
Not going to lie. Do you want to kick us off, Brody? Do you want to share a Summer Game Fest specific prediction?
Sure. I think we will, during this Summer Game Fest, at some point or another, we will get a release date for Hollow Knight Silksong. I think just with it coming to that thing, you know, in Melbourne in September, I think it is. I feel like it's going to have to be out by then. So I think it probably launches somewhere between now and then, and we get a date here.
I did consider putting this same prediction down as well, but I'm kind of holding out hope that it isn't happening this year for the sake of
Fantasy Critic.
Fantasy Critic, yeah. I'm worried in the pits, but if that does indeed come out in reviews well, I could be in serious strife. Yeah. What do you think, James? Is that likely? No.
Did you say it was going to be at Xbox, Brody, or did you not say where you thought it was going to be?
I was non-specific, non-committal. I think it's just going to be...
Yeah.
Hang on, James, you're coming through very quiet. Am I the only person struggling to hear, James?
It was fine before.
Technical difficulties. He swapped mics. He's hot swapped.
Raise your voice, not your argument.
He's coming back.
He's pulled the ripcord. He's out of here.
So when did you say you think you were gonna see it, Brody? I'm just making sure this is documented.
For the third time.
Sorry.
I was non-committal. I think it'll just show up at some point. It'll be somewhere.
Are we getting a release date? Is that what you're saying? They've said Game Pass, or did I make that up?
It's coming to Game Pass.
So Xbox, I feel like, is a natural fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And coming this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think it has to come before September.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the demo at this September thing is going to be, I don't know, because that'll be really the first time anyone can play it, really.
Has it been playable before? This is what I was trying to think about the other day.
I don't think we've ever seen it since it was announced. Maybe I'm making that up, but it's been a long time since we've seen it, right?
Yeah. So what game are we talking about?
We're still vamping. We're filling time for you.
No, that's fine.
I can see it happening.
Why not? Is it on game? I feel like it's a Game Pass. Is it a Game Pass game?
It is.
Okay, sorry. Did you just say all this?
Yeah.
I feel that too. Whoever said that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You got some backup. James, do you want to give us one of your predictions?
I think it's high time that we see the new Tomb Raider.
Oh! And
I'm going to go one step further. Have I already predicted this?
I feel like we've predicted it at some point.
I mean, it's... Yeah, a lot of mine are like the same thing every year. I just hope one day it'll be true.
yeah.
I have a lot of secrets in this head, so that's why they're all coming out today. So, yeah. I was going to say, our new Tomb Raider will be revealed, and it will be... I've put a back-to-basics approach. I don't really know what I mean by that. I just think it sounds mysterious and interesting, so I'm just going to go for that. I think Lara will look like her old self again.
Polygon boobs.
Yeah, like, it'll be back to... Wow. I was going to say back to tits, but that's not what I... I don't know a more eloquent way to say that. But, you know, like, I don't know. I just think they'll go back to what, like, the classic games were.
It'll be the breast of both worlds.
So, like... not open worldy.
I think still open. I think open level, but back to, like, you know, she's jet setting around, going to, like, tombs and stuff. And I feel like with a lot of games these days, they're trying to find ways to make the scale smaller, right? So like have bigger, more open levels, which is, but not like a big open world, which I think is what the original games were anyway. So I can see that. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying?
Not really.
Like, wasn't she always globetrotting and going into...
No, because when the last... not see, happening? So you clown... The last three games have been, like, 2 to 3 locations, and that's it. Like, she didn't go to, like...
So oh, yeah. More.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the first
truly
one's...
Truly global.
The first reboot was, like...
frequent flyer miles.
I mean, I could...
Are you thinking, like, more the kind of style of design a game, like, of the Indiana Jones game we got recently?
Even that, like, that's still... That's closer to me to, like, the reboot trilogy. I'm talking about the first
more
six
linear
games
than that.
Where it's like, okay, you're in Tokyo. Like
every level is a different place.
Yeah, and, like, it's like a big it's actually like a big tomb. It's not just like the tombs are just, say, there's five of them in a game. Well, that's what it's about.
Yeah, let's just have a drinking game where we have a shot every time he says tomb.
Anyway.
Bring the tombs back to Tomb Raider, damn it.
Yeah. People who play the games will know exactly what I mean. So,
right.
Like, yeah, I guess if you're listening, I'm sure you'll understand what I'm saying.
Well, speaking of return to basics, that's very much the direction I see them going with Battlefield 6, which I expect will have a big showing during Summer Game Fest, with, like, a bit of a gameplay reveal trailer. I guess the... more different bit I'll add here would be that I think it's going to get a positive reaction amongst fans. Like, I think when all is said and done, like, we'll look away at the trailer and Battlefield fans will be happy with the look of the game.
No, sure.
I don't know how we quantify that, just, like, general sentiment, or if
that's
it's
right.
a positive like-to-dislike relationship on YouTube, but I think we'll be able to kind of definitively say it was a positive reaction.
Hmm.
Interesting.
No, that's my first prediction. No. Shannon, what's yours?
Mine is that Metroid... I've written Metroid Prime 4 Prime. we'll get its release date at SGF opening night, and it is coming in September.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Huge, if
wow,
true.
That's really interesting.
It is, isn't it?
I hope you're leading with your least interesting.
You even just said that Battlefield will be at Summer Game Fest.
No, I didn't. I didn't say a word
you
about
even said that.
I added layers to it. How dare you?
Like, Battlefield will be shown this year when, like, it's been confirmed.
Can I have, like, a... do you want to add another layer to that, Shannon?
Say
like,
it was
okay,
coming this year.
Just relax.
I'm not relaxed. That's the problem.
You and I was talking to.
Just but came go. After yeah, me for no can... reason.
Go. What is there more of that? Wait,
go.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh,
that's my prediction.
So
Brody, back to you. What's prediction number two?
Oh, God.
It's a hard act to follow, isn't it?
wow.
I am going to say...
I hope the next Tomb Raider game features tombs. That's...
I wasn't saying it doesn't have to have tombs.
I wanted to go places and for it to have tombs.
Yeah, literally.
No, look, I understand what he means. Let's back off, everyone. We're a family. We're a
exactly,
team.
Exactly, and we just came up
we
with
we were all saying before we started recording.
3 seconds before the show, let's see.
Yeah, we were all saying how hard it was to predict what's happening this year.
That is
There's
true,
not really been
true.
A lot of inkling.
Yeah,
we're doing fine. We're off to a good start, I guess.
We're off to a fine start.
Brody, what's your second prediction?
I think there's going to be a small... but exciting rollout of games that are going to, from Xbox, that are going to come to the Nintendo Switch 2. And I think that they'll be shown also somewhere at some showcase. I don't know if Xbox would necessarily want to put that in their showcase, but again, why not, if it's going to help move some units. But yeah, I can see a few of those games that have been ported across already possibly getting Nintendo ports as well.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. I've got that one added down. Small but exciting rollout of Xbox games coming to the Nintendo Switch. Oh, yes. Off to a strong start. Do you have, like, I'm not necessarily adding this to your prediction, but do you have, like, an inkling of what one of the games might be?
Psychonauts 2.
Oh, okay. All right.
Why not?
Sea of Thieves.
Starting with the big one.
Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves.
Is Sea of Thieves already 5, on Switch?
I'm going to say.
Am I confused, or is Sea of Thieves not on Switch? I thought that was on Switch.
It's on PlayStation. Is it on Twitch?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. No, look, Sea of Thieves is a good shout.
I mean, that'd be the sensible place to start, like Forza Horizon as well, right? Having just come
like,
to PS5.
Oh, Rare's back on Switch. And then, you know, Everwild.
Don't know if they pull the trigger on, like, Forza Horizon with Mario Kart World trying to corner that particular subgenre.
Two different markets, though, right?
I don't think it's Xbox's choice, really. I don't think Nintendo's going to block it or can block it.
I suppose. Yeah.
Mm.
Not a prediction, but do we think we're going to see Double Fine come back, maybe? Psychonauts 3, even?
I don't think that's what they're working on, but yeah.
That'd be good. I'm ready for another Double Fine game. James, what's your second prediction?
Double Fine will be it.
No,
with the heavy hitters now.
I think it's time. It's well and truly time for Resident Evil 9 to be revealed.
Ooh. I like these predictions, James. I want these to all be true.
I'm sure I've said this one already on your list.
I mean,
that one just made your hat pop. That's how good it was.
Yeah, it did.
What are your insiders telling you?
I don't have any insight. No insiders, just insight, Shannon.
I don't know. Yeah, you did predict this in your 2025 predictions. You said Resident Evil 9 will be revealed, Jill and Leon playable characters coming early 2026.
Like, copy and paste. We're in 2025.
Okay, so you're saying it's being announced in the next 2 weeks.
It's being announced this year, and it's out early next year, and it's just Leon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's no more Jill.
What happened to Jill?
She got cut.
She died. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I think it's just Leon.
I feel like you do have sources. This is oddly specific.
It seems weird just to cut Jill based on no information at all. But
I got a feeling.
Yeah. Shannon, what's your next prediction?
I'm predicting that we will get God of War Greece. Oh. And I am going one step further and saying it'll be a reimagining of the original game. As much as I'd like the original trilogy, why? What is that face, Brody?
No, I'm just listening. I'm taking it in.
I love the original trilogy, but I think it's going to be a reimagining of the original game, which I'm also down for.
Mm.
You mean in the style of the original?
No, in the style of the new games. But you just mean set in the original story.
They won't have to write a new story.
Correct.
Because those are the parts that were so good about the first game. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't the time for discussion about
The story was all right. For what it was, like, I think that was fine.
It'll be expanded upon and made more epic by the...
Are we saying it's, like, kind of a flashback to, like, earlier Kratos? Or is it a continuation of...
I haven't really given it a lot of thought. That's just going with it.
I won't be elaborating.
Yeah, I think it'll just be a flashback to his origins, which a lot of people don't know at all in terms of.
I do think they were kind of
fans.
Setting that up with Valhalla. Like, I think it's on the cards. I feel like it might be a bit soon. But
did you need to know his origins though? He's just like an angry man.
People will lap it up, won't they?
I guess. I just think we don't need to explain everything all the time.
No, I agree.
Right? Like,
Whatever happened to subtext?
Yeah, like subtext. It's dead.
Subtext.
Yeah. I think I'm much more interested in, like, where the story is yet to progress as well, as opposed to...
Yeah, but I don't think that's happening yet. I think we're just getting a nice taste of Greece first. Yeah.
I kind of want to make so many different predictions right now off the back of that, but I think I'm going to stick with my original list, and I'm going to return to our old friend and Jeff Keighley's old friend, Kojima, who I think will take to the stage mostly to talk about Death Stranding 2, but he will kind of end it with some more details about OD and reveal another collaborator working on the project.
You want to take
Sorry?
Just for a bonus point.
I want to take a punt at who?
Go for a bonus point.
I kind of do. Just for a bonus point, you'll permit me that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Bonus point, I think it's another horror director, Ari Aster. I reckon his time's coming. We haven't heard of Ari Aster being in DS2.
No.
Let's not say that he isn't, but maybe that's the case. But I still feel like there's a horror connection going on. I'm trying to read James's face.
when that's the like one thing that they've asked us to never speak about. So
I know.
It's up here in this head, this mushroom head.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to read your face, but I have no intel there. Clearly,
I think OD. Yeah, I think OD is like closer than we think.
Yeah, I will add to my prediction though. Formally, there won't be a trailer or a release date. It's just like, here's more information about the game. Here's another collaborator. That's kind of it.
I don't see it because I just think Death Stranding 2 is like. So
I agree.
Close. I feel like it's
I do feel
happen.
Like all the.
But he's often
that.
Like double stacked, right? Like he's
nah,
often
but it's
gone.
Literally like the promo tour is happening right now. In yeah, the last like few weeks of release. I just
in
can't
Australia
see it.
Soon, isn't he? Like
he is.
I mean, like, he's already talking about his next two games, like, and if it is as close
maybe.
As...
Maybe, you could be right. Maybe
I feel like this is
just,
like, a little tease, and then Game Awards, you get, like, a proper reveal. That's my sort of feel.
I'm going to counter-predict it, not officially, that OD is never going to release, and that's my prediction for this summer.
I think it will, but it will be multiplied already.
What? Sorry, what did you say there, James?
I didn't catch that either.
I think. Oh, okay. Well, I think it will reveal, but I think it's on PS5 now. As well.
Okay. As in, okay, not exclusively. That would be a nice jump.
I mean, I'm just using nice. No, that's the right word. But more people get to play it. That's great.
Yeah. Okay, Brady, we're back to you.
Which Xbox prediction
I've got
to
a
go
couple
with
Xbox
now?
One still.
I think, no, I don't think so. Square will announce FF7 Remake and Rebirth for Xbox. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
That's like long overdue.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah, Game Pass or not, Brody?
Not.
Dynamic.
What?
Yeah, I think Square need to make money back on that, right?
50-50. Like, yeah, but they can make some money back by just taking some fat cash.
Like,
at the
fat
beginning.
Game Pass check.
Yeah. That might happen. Cool. I think that's a good prediction. I like that. James, you got another for me?
No, isn't that... Oh, no, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Ooh, this one's like so like not going to happen, but I'm going to say it, maybe. A new 2D Metroid is in the works from Mercury
Whoa.
Steam, the people who made Dread, but it's out, obviously, next year. So I was going to like say Metroid Prime is delayed, but this is coming out this year instead. But I don't think I was going to be even a bit more realistic about that. So I think
I'd be so about that. I loved Dread.
Yeah. And Blades of Fire just came out, and that was obviously lighting the charts on fire, as we know, for Mercury Steam. So I'm sure, you know, they need
again,
to get back to
I think there's only enough room for one Metroid in Nintendo's current roster. So I can't see it.
No, yeah.
This time.
I disagree.
Metroid Dread sold well, right? Like, it was...
I mean,
I think it did...
It was, like, 3 million. Wasn't it 3 million or something? That's, like, not very good by Nintendo standards. But
that's true.
Good by Metroid standards.
That's good by Metroid
standards. It'd have low costs to development, though. That it's fine, I think.
Sales.
Yeah. Relatively.
3 million copies maybe. As of 2022.
Yeah, okay.
Which is, like, pretty average. But, as a fan who's going to do some mental gymnastics, no game, Metroid game, is released, like... on a good console for a long time, so
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the Wii one.
I hope it's kind of back. Like I hope that there's like enough. They see the value in the IP at the moment. Like Metroid Prime 4. Hopefully that comes out to a good reception. I think the remaster of Prime did okay as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, I guess there's a bit kind of riding on the success of these games, but yeah, hopefully they've done well enough that it's like, okay, yeah, cool. Let's keep Metroid in rotation. New game every couple of years. That'll be great. Fingers crossed. Shannon, what's your third and final prediction?
I'm predicting that Asus will introduce its Xbox handheld, and then I've written here Nintendo shook.
Yeah. This I also had this one down. I will bring another prediction to the table. But yeah, I think this is a pretty much a lock. Release, like, not release, announce their Xbox branded ROG Ally. Do you think there'll be any, like, particular quirks to it that they'll, like, want to make a mention of or anything like that?
I think it'll obviously have the Xbox button on it, and that'll be quite prominent. I'm still torn about, I think it'll just be standard Windows, or, like, maybe it'll boot into the Xbox app or something, but I don't think it'll be any different than the other ones.
Wouldn't surprise me if they kind of do a bit of a song and dance about, like, how they're, like, optimizing games via PC Game Pass for these types of devices or whatever, and they kind of show, like, a kind of PC Game Pass app running on this thing. But yeah, I reckon it'd be pretty bare bones in that front. Like, they want to understand if there's an appetite for this sort of thing first before they bring out one of their own. Okay, well, I will stick with Xbox and share my last prediction then. This one I think I've mentioned in previous years, but I'm hopeful that we see it this year, and that's a new trailer for Everwild from Rare with a tentative release date of next year. I feel like it's well overdue at this point. This would be a good opportunity for them to show it off. And yeah, given how much I enjoyed Sea of Thieves, and I kind of like the kind of direction that Everwild seemed to be going, I'm keen to see more of it.
What direction is that? Like, what do you make of Everwild? Like, in terms of what sort of game it will be? Because, I mean, I've seen pretty much all the trailers
I'm working
done,
purely off vibes here,
and
Brady.
I haven't got the fucking foggiest what that game would be.
I like the vibes.
Deep down, and I've said this before, like, my dream is that it just becomes like a Viva Pinata 3, basically. Have you gone and played that yet, Ewan? We spoke about this.
I haven't. Ewan. No. I mean, did disgusting. We really expect me to?
Disgusting.
Play it. So good.
I did. I went and played a bit of Donkey Kong Country. I did
no,
that.
Didn't. You played that that's like 10 years ago.
I played it for like a couple hours.
That has expired. It's time for a new.
Guys, there's a lot of current games coming out that I'm trying to keep up with, played? All right? I don't have time to go back and play Viva Pinata.
What did you play last night, Ewan?
Yeah.
I didn't play anything last night.
Apex with the boys?
No, I think I watched Welcome to Wrexham last night. I didn't play dynamic. Anything. Anyway. And the F1.
Oh my god. F1
all right, well, that's it for our predictions. They are locked in, filed away. We will see what happens over the next couple of weeks, but whilst we wait and see what happens at Summer Games Fest, we're going to be very much having our hands full with the Nintendo Switch 2. But Brody and Shannon, you've managed to get early hands on with the console and play a couple of games that were, well, one game we're excited for, the other remains to be seen. But let's start with Mario Kart World. You both have spent a bit of time with the game now. I'm eager to get your impressions of it thus far. Brody, let's start with you. You kind of got to spend more time with it more recently. How is the game shaping up in your mind?
I'll come at it with the context that I haven't really got deep into a Mario Kart game since like maybe Double Dash back on the GameCube, so I've missed the whole Wii U and pretty much Switch era of I guess Mario Kart 8, but yeah, like it's a lot of fun. Like it's still the best kart racer on the market. All the cool things they add into the gameplay, I feel like, while not as I guess exciting as like the gravity flipping stuff in 8, like with the grinding and wall riding and stuff, it still adds enough dynamicism, if you like, to the to the gameplay. But obviously the big selling point, I suppose, for this one is the open world. And I don't know about you guys, but like when it was revealed, like I guess I had some concerns that the open world might be a bit sparse and there wasn't really much to do there, because it did look kind of bland from some of the trailers. But I did find that I had a lot of fun roaming around. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff to, like, tuck into there. There's, like, mini games you stumble across, more, like, emergent, like, gameplay opportunities, like, whether you find, like, Shannon was referring to some footage that we had earlier of, like, a charge and chuck that I was chasing around for ages trying to hit him with a green shell. Plenty of collectibles to find and, like hidden little routes to get to them. Yeah, and obviously just being able to pop around the map freely, like you can zoom out to the free roam map and basically take over for any other character that's just driving around on that map, so you can sort of zip around pretty quickly in that sense. Mm. So yeah, I'm pretty keen to get more into that open world and yeah, take care of all these missions that we're looking at here. That's obviously, this is not going to be in sync with anything that we're actually showing, so I shouldn't refer to the footage we're watching, but yeah, like the open, well, you're gonna have to work hard to sync that up, but yeah, the open world stuff is cool. Like the missions that they put out there, like they're often like based on, like, you know, how quickly you can get from A to B and stuff, so they were pretty much the crux of what I saw. Like, it's usually just trying to avoid obstacles while getting to a point, so whether they're enormously varied beyond that, I guess, will remain to be seen. But yeah, and then obviously the other facet of Mario Kart that's always been I guess it's bread and butter is like the competitive multiplayer, and that again is just, you know, just chaotic, absolutely fun. Like, and obviously the increased player size here, like it's up to 24 players, it just makes it all the more hectic riding around, and you know, you'll go from first to last in a matter of seconds. That happened to me so much. Yeah, so the I guess the big new mode that they're sort of spruiking is the Knockout Tour, which is basically, if you've played Burnout, it's the Eliminator race, effectively. So it's, rather than going like lapped races, it's a point-to-point sprint where you go through like multiple checkpoints and biomes and stuff. And as you get through each checkpoint gate, it'll eliminate a certain amount of people. Again, like, it's one of those things where, like, if you're last, you'll be back in the race in no time, because the game just does such a good job of like throwing things you need at you to get you back into it. Because I remember, like, there was one point where I thought I got eliminated, but I didn't actually go through a checkpoint, so I hadn't been eliminated yet, and I put the controller down, and about 10 seconds later the guy was like, hey, you're still in. And I was like, oh shit. So I like took off again, and then it just gave me like mushroom after mushroom after mushroom, and suddenly like I was back in like eighth or something and made it through. Yeah. So yeah, so it's a lot of fun. It's very hectic. It's very unpredictable and frustrating in all the ways that Mario Kart can be. Obviously, like I said, you can be cruising in first for like 20 seconds, and then suddenly you get struck by lightning, and then you get flattened by a bullet bill and all that sort of stuff. So, but yeah, still a lot of fun. I can see that being like a big draw for online play. And then just the battle modes themselves and the versus modes, still very fun, like Balloon Battle and Coin Runners is a lot of fun. I think there are some new items that I think are a little OP for things like Balloon Battle, like the new boomerang and stuff like that. It's like you literally can just spam it at enemies and like pop their balloons like that. So I think there'll probably be a little balancing to be done with that. But all in all, like, I think it's a very fun, very joyous package that they're putting together here, like from the single player stuff that you can do to the multiplayer stuff. And yeah, I'm keen to get my hands on it further and yeah, get into the open world more.
There's a couple of things there I kind of want to dig into a little bit deeper. Firstly, circling back to the open world element of it, I mean, you mentioned a couple of games in the process that kind of speak to me. Do you think it's like fair to compare it to something like, I don't know, Burnout Paradise or Forza kind of Horizon games? Or is it maybe like a bit more Lego 2K Drive, more that kind of style of thing?
I haven't played Lego 2K Drive, so I can't draw that comparison, but it's definitely less self-serious than something like Burnout or Forza. Like, as while they're arcadey, they're definitely still more grounded than what this is. Yeah, so without having...
In terms of like the kind of like population of the world, though, with things to do, like the kind of like the shortcuts and the billboards and all of that that were in Burnout Paradise, like, kind of looked like there were elements of that to this, right?
Yeah, I'd say there's definitely elements of it. From what I experienced, I'd say it's probably slightly less dense than something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I think it probably puts the emergent fun at the forefront more than it does, you know, just like a collectathon. Granted, that sort of stuff is there. Like I said, there's shortcuts I found and like little secret nooks I found. Like I drove behind a waterfall, found myself up on a roof and collected some little peach token that unlocked something. I wasn't really diving into what I was getting, but yeah, and even just driving around and like unlocking new costumes and stuff like that, which you can get like through the drive-throughs where you collect like the food bag and eat like a chili dog, and then suddenly you're like a cool Mario with his hat backwards and stuff like that. Like all that sort of stuff is just going to be fun, just to cruise around and try and find. And yeah,
if I'm not mistaken as well, you got to kind of give the social elements and the multiplayer races a bit of a go too. How was the integration of those? Like, we've kind of seen it demoed alongside the announcement of the Switch 2. Do you think it's a kind of compelling enough feature?
By that, do you mean like the camera?
Yeah, like the camera and the kind of game chat functionality.
Yeah, so obviously being all in one room together, we didn't really get to do the game chat. Like, they didn't feel like in the setup that we had that would be very conducive to showing it off properly, but we definitely got to play with the camera. And yeah, look, I think there was a fun novelty to it. Like I've said all along, I don't really know what the application for the camera would be beyond games like this, unless you're like attempting to stream or something like that. But for it to be actually like applied within the game, like it is here, like you zoom past someone and your like face is like hovering above your car and you're like sticking your tongue out at them, making light of the situation. Like, it's,
I can see Shannon doing that.
Yeah, like, yeah, he'll like zip past you and start singing Dua Lipa or something like that. So yeah, like I think there's a lot of novelty and a lot of just fun that comes with that. I don't know if it's something that I'll necessarily like use all the time, but I guess in like party situations, like I can see it being cool for like Mario Party and stuff like that. Yeah, but it was definitely the source of a few laughs. I'll put it that way.
Shannon, what about you and your kind of experience with the game so far? Do you all kind of pretty much agree with Brody and his assessment?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I've got to play it earlier, so I didn't get to do like the free roam mission stuff or like any of the camera stuff. But yeah, I played like quite a bit of Knockout Tour, quite a bit of the GPs, and like had a taste of free roam. And then obviously watching all of Brody's footage, I feel like I understand it. And I'm very keen for it. It's clear that this is like hugely improved from the last one and just very different to anything we've seen in Mario Kart before and like the total package.
Maybe you could kind of speak to the presentation of the game a little bit. Like, does it kind of live up to, I guess, like the promise of being this first like proper 4K high resolution Mario Kart game?
Yeah, 100%. I think the 4K-ness of it makes a big difference because obviously that just makes everything look crisper, but there's just so much more detail in the world as well. Like all the characters, the lighting, the physics, like no two hits are the same in terms of getting hit animation wise. So
it's cool.
100%. It's a big improvement, and just you can see why it wouldn't have been possible on the OG Switch. It's not like Forza Horizon, like in terms of realism or whatever, but we knew that that wasn't going to be what anything Nintendo are doing is, right? So like, I think for what it is, it's just what we wanted from the Switch, like 4K, running solidly, and I guess feeling like they're not restricted in terms of their art, which we knew would shine in 4K.
Brody, did you get to play it on were you just on the TV or handheld or combination of the two?
Yeah, no, I played on TV pretty much the entire time with Mario Kart, using a pro controller. So
yeah, and when you were in like split screen and stuff as well, like did you split screen it at some point?
Yeah. So when we did like all the versus games, which I did with Luke from Checkpoint.
It didn't chug or anything like that.
No, definitely where I was not. We were sat next to each other on the same screen, and it ran perfectly fine. Like, I didn't notice any hitches at all, honestly.
Yeah. Nice. What do you make of it, James? Having heard the thoughts of these two, having seen some of the gameplay footage, are you excited to like boot this one up kind of day one on your Switch, or are there other games you kind of more eager to play, do you think?
I don't love Mario Kart. I never have. So like, it doesn't change my mind per se. The open stuff is kind of cool, and I think like maybe just when you don't really have anything else to play, like even just running around the free room with your friends online would be pretty cool. I can see that happening a few times.
I think actually, if it weren't for the free roam thing, I would like, it would just be a party game for me. It's like, cool, I've got friends over, let me show off the new Switch 2 and kind of play Mario Kart together. But with the free roam thing, kind of makes me more interested to like delve into it as like a solo player and kind of progress through.
are all the courses now, like, so back in the day, right, it was like three laps of the same course. It's not like that anymore, is it? Like, I feel like all of the races are, each lap is actually different. Is that right? Correct in assuming that?
Yeah, go on, Shannon, sorry.
Brody has played more than me, but everything I played, like, they were all unique. I'm assuming that, like, maybe some of the retro, like, older courses might be the same. Brody might speak to that.
I think from what I recall, and you've kind of tripped me up here because I'm trying to actually recollect, but I think it's a mix of both. Like, yeah. I definitely think there's lapped races where you do the same laps.
Mm.
Like, but I think the GPs, like, they're, like, one course that runs into another. Because, like, I remembered, like, the only race where you actually have to start from the grid is the first one. And then, like, the second, third, and fourth races, you're already at, like, a running start, and you can kick your boost in from there. So, I definitely get the impression that there is, like, instances where the races will, like, yeah, flow into the other. Which is obviously...
Yeah, I thought they were, like, the kind of, well. Like, a tour to the next city, right?
That's right.
Like, it kind of progresses from one location, like, on to another. That. But I figured there were kind of circuit tracks in each of those locations as well.
How does it work
well.
In between, then? So, are you saying that if you, say, finish the first race at an advantage and then you move on to the next one, are you still starting at an advantage?
I think you'll start at the front of the grid, but you won't be, like, as far in front as you were, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what Ewan said is right. I think they are general circuit races, but then when you finish, like, you'll be at a running start because the end of the first one will be the start of the next one, if that makes sense.
So, yeah, how it... Like, if you think of it as a map, like, and then if you think of, like... Yeah, it's hard because the GPs, I think, are set, but if you think of everything else, like, you can just have different paths. So, like, there's different maps that run throughout, and then there's bits in between the actual maps on the map, the courses on the map.
And are, like... Yeah, and for argument's sake, the knockout tour will, like, be, like, a straight run of all four of those all four of those tracks, like, back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it must be a combination of both. But
if you, I guess that's why they've done free roam, right? Because they had to create the whole world for that to work, because it's not just the courses, like, it's all the little bits in between the courses, which are different depending on what course you're going from and to.
It is very cleverly designed. Yeah, it's very cleverly designed. And I do like how, like, they've brought some of the, while I don't have an affinity for them, like, they've brought, like, classic maps up to be, I guess, up to speed with how they've designed the world and with, like, the new mechanics, like the rail grinding and the wall jumping and stuff like that. So, which I know they had done with 8 and the magnet stuff, but yeah, it's definitely still cool here. The novelty is there.
How was, like, the wall riding and grinding and stuff? Did that
surprisingly
really
surprisingly tricky? Yeah, surprisingly tricky. Okay. So you're obviously, I don't know if you could in 8 because, again, I didn't play it, but, like, you can, like, power up a jump basically. But so you hold down, like, one of the triggers. I think it's the drift trigger, but you hold it while you're going straight and it basically charges up a jump, but you need to sort of be veering across and then, like, let go of the jump as you're drifting sideways to, like, barrel roll onto the rail and then grind from there. I don't know what advantage it necessarily gave you in a race, but it's a good, I guess, resource to, like, get around certain obstacles, I suppose, or take shortcuts and stuff. So, and for there's, like, higher up rails and stuff that you can jump to as well using, like, the feather power up that's new. So, I expect there's going to be, like, so many, like, cool shortcuts that people find in these tracks that will obviously give the better players an edge. So, definitely cool
the people
stuff
that kind of set the world record times and these really push its limits. Yeah.
People who get sweaty with it,
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm certainly very excited for it. This is, at this stage, still the only game I'm getting on my Switch 2 at launch. Excited to delve into it and experience that free world. And
did you just go with the Switch 2, Brody, generally, as the person to have played it? How did you like it? What stood out?
Yeah, look, honestly, it basically felt like a Switch, but better. Like, obviously, because, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Like, obviously, being better tech, like, obviously, the noticeable difference in, like, how the games are running better, that's obviously one thing. But in terms of, like, the form and how it feels, like, it was very similar. Like, obviously, in particular with Mario Kart, I probably can't speak to how it felt in the hand because I was playing it with, like, the Pro Controller and stuff. But maybe we can touch on more of the technical differences when we get to the other game that we played, so...
Did you do any of the mouse control stuff in, like, Welcome Tour or anything, or did you not really have...
I did, yes.
Well, let's segue to that now, because you obviously got to spend a bit of time, too, with Welcome Tour, which, I don't know, how would you just best describe Welcome Tour?
It is an interactive instruction manual, basically, on how to operate your Switch and all it, the features that it has in the box, basically. Mm. I think it's not... I think it's what they want... They're trying to capture that Astro's Playroom sort of feel, right?
Yeah. Like,
they're trying to celebrate what they've got, but I feel like along the way, they somehow forgot to actually celebrate what it is to be Nintendo. Because it definitely celebrates what the Nintendo Switch 2 is doing, but I definitely didn't get a sense that, like, the whole product was, you know, an overarching celebration of, like, you know, Nintendo as a whole, kind of like how Astro's was. And it's certainly not, like, woven through, like, a seamless, fun adventure like that was either. Yeah. Yeah, it's very much like an interactive museum where you just, like, skate around on top of this, obviously, Nintendo Switch 2 unit. Like, you work from the left Joy-Con to the screen to the right Joy-Con and probably beyond there, I imagine. But, yeah, it's like a combination of quizzes, tech demos, little mini-games, and... I don't know, like, it's just such a weird thing. Like, I honestly think it would have been better had it been, like, Mario-branded somehow, like Mario's Welcome Tour or something like that. Like, I don't know how...
Or even, like, a WarioWare kind of thing. Like, that seems so appropriate to this.
I don't know how they can sort of have, you know, the quintessential gaming mascot platformer in their brand and then opt for the Wii Fit trainer-looking... avatars that are just running around on this thing. Like, it does feel sort of bland and sort of uninspired, and like some of the mini games, like, I don't know, they just weren't really buzzing me too much. Some of them are novel and cool, like the Mario Super Mario Brothers 1-1, like level one 4K version that they did, where obviously you can play the whole level across the entirety of the screen. Like, that was really cool, and sort of shows how far we've come in terms of how many pixels you can jam into a screen. But beyond that, I
wonder
I
wonder if the reason why it's not included is because the Switch 2 was in production like a year ago and it wasn't finished, and they're like, well, let's just charge for it, because for the people that want to play it, they'll pay the $15, and the people that won't download it anyway. And but I just don't understand their goal with this, because it's a weird one. Like, it's
In terms of fine. So obviously you compared it to Playroom, right? But Playroom was like pre-installed and free on every PlayStation. Like, does this justify is it $15 or $20 price tag?
Like, I would struggle to say yes. Like, I don't know. I think if you try really hard, I think you could find some fun in this. in terms of, like... You know, if you're hunting for all the medals in all the mini games or something like that, or I don't know. Like I said, what I've sampled is probably an hour of the game. Like, it might, you know, they might have hidden all the revelry and all the celebration for Nintendo in the last quarter of the game, and maybe it's just there and I haven't seen it yet. But from what I've seen on the surface, I don't know. It just seems very mechanical, very clinical, and very sort of uninspired in terms of like, if it's going for that. And look, I'm not saying that they are necessarily trying to be Astro's Playroom, because I clearly don't think they are. But, I don't know. Like,
I think it's an apt per comparison, though. Like, it's
I
feel like the gold standard was right there, and, like, they've kind of...
Not only Astro, put one Wii foot Sports in that direction. Was included in the Wii, and that's, like, one of the best games of all time. Like,
That's true. That's very true.
I think people will definitely make those comparisons, and that's completely fair. Like, if you're buying a new console... and you see an experience that should be a pack-in, which everyone will argue that this is. I think you're justified to ask these questions. But in terms of, I guess, how well it does at showcasing the features of the console, I think it does a well enough job at that. It's just the mini games it puts you in to do that aren't necessarily the most exciting. Like, to show off the new Joy-Cons and the rumble, like, it got me, like, shaking the Joy-Cons like maracas, and I was like, cool. To show off, like, the microphone and how it, like, noise cancels and, like, dampens noise outside of your voice. Like, I had to sit there and, like, and, like, talk into the console like an absolute weirdo, which I would never do. Well, I mean, there are cool ones. Like I said, you asked about the mouse. I really like the mouse functionality on this thing. I'm very excited to see its applications in other games, because I'm a big fan of, like, I don't like... WASDA like controls for like moving and strafing in shooters. Like I would love to be able to use the control stick for the left side and use the mouse for the right side. I think those hybrid controls will be really cool. So I'm excited to see that possibility. But like the mini games you can do for that, like it's literally like moving through a maze as quick as you can. But like amazingly, it is very precise. Like I think the mouse is very cool. But like beyond that, it's just the mini games and the demos that they show, they're just kind of dull. And like the quizzes, like don't get me started, because you got to sit through like a TED talk before you can do the quizzes, and it's just like mind-numbing stuff. Like like they'll give you the whole spiel and it's like, well, what resolution can the Nintendo Switch hit in docked? And you're like, well, fuck, oh my god, so hard. It's like, yeah, it's just beating you over the head with information that we already know.
Yeah,
I guess
it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
it is a weird game.
I can see why Mario, it isn't a Mario game, because I just feel like, yeah, there's kind of no risk with what's happening here. And maybe that's what game wise it's going to pack in, because it,
Mario,
yeah,
if you
well,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it, because I do think it's good to like run through the features, and like it really does run you through them, but yeah, I don't know.
I honestly think there'll be first party games that do it better though.
Well, yeah.
And that's the issue. Like Mario, if you don't think Mario Kart will like, you know, have like tutorials that like run you through some of the new features, then I don't know.
And it kind of sounds like the type of game. It kind of sounds like the type of game that if you were doing like a demo of the console, like in the middle of a shopping center,
put it in a big W, that's fine. But don't charge me $15 for it.
But I don't even like. I remember Astro even before you got into it. I remember you came over on before the PS5 was out, and like it just shows you all the DualSense features, like really quickly and stuff.
But it's like
this isn't that
equal parts a game at the same time, and you're having
fun. Then after that,
you're
playing
the characters
the
are cool. Yeah, it's paying homage to everything PlayStation. Yeah, I do think that was a really impressive inclusion on the PS5.
I'm still keen to get it and run through it, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I agree. I'm much the same. Like, I will still give it a go and hope that beyond the hour I've played there is, like, game. Because I'm, like, seeing screenshots for a lot of games that I obviously didn't see. And I'm like, I'd be happy to play, like, a little golf game with the mouse and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, there may be a bit of stuff there that makes it worth it. Like, it's only going to take a handful of, like, really cool mini games among the however many there are for it to be like $15.
I think
much,
it was revealed
really,
today, so 20 mini games and 15 tech demos. So there's like a bit of meat on the bone.
The mini games are definitely like the more fun thing, but yeah, the tech demos are probably the things like the maracas and like just the setting off fireworks and
stuff.
Do
you have to do everything, or can you just like, because I remember you do just go to what you want on the map, but I assume you do have to complete everything.
Like
to
it's
go to
definitely
the next area.
It's definitely gated. Like you need
to do your
medals to get through to the next sections and stuff like that. So
yeah, interesting. Not one I'm chomping at the bit to play, but let's see how desperate I get. Maybe there's very few game releases on the horizon for the Switch 2, and I'm looking for something. Let's change gears now, though, and talk about some game cancellations real quick. We are going along, but I do want to cover these off. EA has shut down Cliffhanger Studios and cancelled their in-development open-world Black Panther game. In an email to staff, which I thought was interesting, EA affirmed a focus on Battlefield, The Sims, Skate, and Apex Legends in their entertainment division, so that excludes the sports games that they otherwise make, and said work continues on Motive's Iron Man game and Respawn's third Star Wars Jedi game. James, maybe first to you, what's your reaction on this?
Good riddance, he says.
That's my honest reaction. No, I don't know.
It always sucks to see people's jobs get caught up in it, but yeah, I don't feel like anyone was really hankering for this Black Panther game.
Yeah, I think like especially like superhero games, I feel like a lot of people are trying to maybe capture what happened with Spider-Man. And maybe now that, I don't know, that it's not so hot anymore, like it's not as, you know what I mean? Like Spider-Man 2, like the DLC didn't happen. Like I'm not saying that game flopped, but I think it was a less warm response than the first game, right? And then there's another Black Panther game coming out, kind of like next
1943. I'm still excited for. Like, I think there's an interesting story there, but nothing about this game particularly all that different.
I didn't even know, to be honest. I didn't know this game existed. I only found out about it this week or last week because...
Well, it was like a blog post. Like, it's... Yeah.
It was very... There wasn't much said.
I feel like I'm somebody who, like, knows a lot. Like, not doesn't know a lot, but, like, has... Like, reads a lot of news, right? Like,
no. Yeah. Toad head.
But you're tapped in more, like, more so than most, yeah.
Yeah, I have a good idea of what's coming in for shit that I don't care about. And, like, this still I didn't know about until I found it was cancelled. So, I'm, like, more upset. I know that I'm probably in the minority, but about Outriders, like, I feel like that had... I really enjoyed that, and I think there was a lot of potential there, but I just
Let me bring in that news. So, you're alluding to People Can Fly having also cancelled two games. One, a potential sequel to Outriders, given that it was being published by Square Enix, which you've obviously alluded to there, James, but they also had an unannounced VR game that was cancelled too. So, yeah, assuming this was Outriders, you're pretty disappointed, James?
I am, because I really liked Outriders. I found the right... I know no one here liked it, but the group...
Loved Outriders. So okay. I was disappointed by this news, too.
Yeah, I found, like, a good group to play with, and, like, I just didn't...
Mm.
Yeah, I was like, I can see, like, that turning into something really cool. For that to be...
It was an interesting kind of premise and story. Like, I didn't think it was, like, masterfully told by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a fun game to play with friends, and... I think, like, it laid an interesting foundation for what was to come.
Yeah.
Alas.
Like...
Yeah.
Square Enix is, like, also... Because I think they were publishing... I'm trying to remember if they, like, sold them off or not. But they also have very high expectations for all their games, and they never meet them, right? So, I also think maybe... That at the same time, People Can Fly might be dodging a bullet by, you know, not releasing something that then... You know, the publisher gets away with, but then the developer has to close. Do you know what I mean? Like, that happens all
I mean, often, they're still feeling the hurt from this, right? But,
Of course.
It's maybe better to just pull the plug at this stage than to go all the way with it and not pan
it's,
out.
It's kind of scary how many games are getting cancelled at the moment, isn't it, though?
Yeah. Truthfully, I'm, like, kind of... I think this is necessary. Like, it's a necessary pain to go through. But, like, these studios or these publishers did need to refocus somewhat. I feel like there was this kind of COVID boom where everyone got excited by everything. And there was just, like, all of this kind of investment pouring in. And, yeah, like, a lot of these projects were starting to come out, weren't living up to expectations. And it just kind of falling apart. I mean, I guess you can make the case, like, well, at least, like, these projects saw the light of day. I mean, Concord, like... saw the light of day briefly and then was removed entirely. I think it's beneficial to just, like, be a bit more, like, minded for sustainability and focus on what works and prioritize that over just throwing everything at a wall and hoping it sticks.
I think in the case of People Can Fly, like, I'm just reading now, it's worth mentioning they had 6 projects in development.
Yeah, like an exclusive Xbox game in the works as well, I think.
Yeah,
yeah. No, they're working on Gears of War E-Day, and they've got a PlayStation IP in development. Yeah,
yeah. So, like, I feel like I was looking at this article, I was like, oh shit, like 1, 2, 4 projects on the go already.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. And a VR game, I think. Before that, right? Like, I feel like, I don't want to say it's the right move if people have lost their jobs, but, like, I feel like...
Of course.
You need to really... You can't spread yourself too thin. I think we saw that happen with Telltale, like, years ago.
Where
they had so much shit going on and then just nothing really hit. I mean, that's...
Yeah. And as, like... Yeah, as awful as it might be to sound, it's kind of better to, like, deal with the short-term kind of pain rather than end up in a situation where you're having to close the whole studio. Because you've had multiple games just not hit. So, yeah, it sucks. But, yeah, I can kind of see some of the thinking behind it. Shannon, any thoughts?
No, I agree. I just think it's hard to bounce back, though, from that.
Yeah.
I honestly think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't mean them specifically. I mean, like, as an industry, like, we're cutting a lot and cancelling a lot. It's harder to bounce back.
I mean, I feel like it's happening a lot of...
I don't think it's just, like, you just stop making a game and then the next week you're, like, making another AAA game and spending 7 years on it. Like, I think that there's obviously... It's going to become harder and harder for these games to be justifiable. for investors, and then even harder to be successful. And like, I don't know where that leaves us.
You're just going to start seeing smaller games, I think.
But is that a bad thing?
No, I'm not saying.
We all complain about games being too big, right?
Bad thing, Ewan.
Yeah,
you know that I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah, I think it's like
Mafia.
It's good business sense to actually think about what you're doing and like not just go into it thinking you're going to make billions of dollars, right? Like, I think it's. Yeah. Like Ewan said, like COVID was a different time where like things were just making money. Like every industry, people had money to spend. Like it's just different.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean,
but
I'm
do
for, like,
worry
ambitious
it's gone
things,
too
but...
far that way. Like, and yeah, maybe it just has to balance out, and then it'll find a happy medium. But
I find momentum will pick up again
with EA. The skate project, I don't see that being like. What I think they think it will be. I think it's been too long for Skate and making it a free-to-play game. That's going to come with all of the, you know, the bells and whistles that those games come with. Like, I can't see that hitting.
You like, don't think people are going to spend their fortunes on sand van bucks?
No.
No.
Sorry.
I think, like, Battlefield's in a really risky place as well. Like, I don't know... how much more goodwill there is kind of to lose
like
with that franchise
been on the knife's edge for 10 years.
I think
and Apex Legends, as much as I love it as well, like those audiences can be quite fickle like it can be very much like what's the game of the moment.
I genuinely think desperation can sometimes bring out the best in developers, right? Like I feel like
I don't even know if it's like I don't know if it's a quality issue. I just think, like, people are just so happy playing Fortnite and, like, jumping back into Fortnite in every season. They just don't care to spend $130 on Battlefield.
And there's
the
a community, like, there's a community that's still playing Apex Legends, right, that are really passionate about it. But, like, I have played 600-700 hours of Apex Legends and haven't gone back to it in a little while. And I sort of feel like they kind of do need to work to maintain momentum in that community and keep coming back to it. Like, these things all have a life cycle, right? Like, there will come a day where people aren't playing Fortnite anymore.
That day be?
it might be a while. And look, like, some games have really long shelf lives, like CSGO or whatever. But,
Siege.
Yeah, I think you need to kind of future-proof and, like, diversify for when that day comes. And then looking at EA's slate, I'm like, what's there?
Ubisoft, I feel that way about as well. I think they're the ones that I worry for. I mean, I'm not worried for them personally, but I just don't know how they find a place where like they're releasing like four titles a year and they're all making money and all really successful again.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what they do if that doesn't ever come off again.
Yeah. Maybe The Sims will just... The Sims and FIFA will just continually make enough money
to prop up the rest of the business.
It's a mess at the moment, I think.
The Sims, I just think that is such... As a brand, like I feel like they have not tapped into that anywhere near as much as they could have. Like, it should be everywhere and, like, it's like not even on Nintendo properly. Like you know
annual
what I mean?
Like, releases.
Yeah, there should be, like, so much shit coming out there. I mean, I feel like there was. Maybe there still is. I don't know.
I just think it's but it's on PC.
Was very supported.
So like you're limited to that. It needs
That's
to I was
I mean.
Speaking
like,
to
chuck it on everything. Like Netflix. Like do you know what like literally everything. I think that's the kind of brand where like it they should be spreading the widest net because it's such
movie.
A wide audience. Absolutely. Do it all. Like
get Katy Perry back to do the song.
Margo, let's
But
do you not agree? Like, I feel like
I agree.
That is
iPad, get it. Like,
I just
on
think
everything.
EA is really fumbling that. Like, I know it's big on PC, but there could be so much more to that. I feel.
Should I get the herbs back in the mix? Do you remember the herbs?
I do remember the herbs. I don't know about that. I feel like that's a step back.
What happened to Plants vs Zombies as well?
I think that got shat in.
James's mum's a fan, isn't
no,
she?
No, she hates.
That was
the second
one.
She got so mad. She was like,
I
hate how
last one was like 2018.
Yeah, I don't know. She just, I remember she complained. She's like, why do they make it so you have to pay to, like, win? And I'm like, oh, that's, if you've worked that out, like, you know, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, instead of just dropping her bank account, which is what I'd expect her to do.
So, like, you know, they couldn't even get her.
I think that's the sad thing. We just used to have so many games from these publishers, and it was just like, some were great, some were okay. Like, Plants vs. Zombies was never... Like, that stupid Garden Warfare. Was it Garden Warfare, like, the third person? Like, it was fun.
I mean,
but, like,
three
we're
of
never
going
to get stuff yeah, maybe it wasn't fun by the end. But the fact that we could have three of them, like, and it was fine. Now it's like one bad release and you just...
It's over. Yeah. I mean, we're spoiled for choice and it's, these games are expensive to make.
One word to get EA back into the gaming market.
No.
Peggle. Peggle was goaded. Peggle 2.
It was.
Phenomenal.
Maybe that's all it takes.
Peggle 3.
Who knows?
Get it back.
It just sucks, like, so with EA, like, Dead Space, the Dead Space remake, to me, was, like, a really good indication of their priority. And even Star Wars, the Jedi games, even though I didn't like the second one, I feel like they were all on the right track to making these really solid single-player experiences to kind of supplement, you know, their ridiculously big Ultimate Team business.
Yeah.
But then they were like, oh, no, it didn't sell that many.
Huh? Burnout.
Yeah, Need for Speed and Burnout is crazy that it's not like
Need for Speed
more
weird.
Better quality games.
Like Need for Speed's had its chance though. Like Burnout, like get it back out there.
Yeah, like, took them off Burnout to make more Need for Speed.
Remaster
right?
And then, the third Burnout. It will print money.
They just need to remaster. I don't care about this. To be clear, like I'm not just like you know barking to do this stuff. I just think everyone talks about Underground and Underground 2 so much.
Yeah,
like Need for Speed. Like I don't understand
Carbon.
Why they tapped into
that era. Yeah.
But then they do the fucking Hot Pursuit reboot that no one really liked in the first place. But that's everywhere. Like, it's just really odd
to me. I mean,
Hot
Pursuit 2 does hold a special place in my heart. So I was pretty excited about that at the time. But it just didn't feel right.
But that to me is like...
I feel like Carbon and Underground and stuff, that era had like a really distinct visual kind of style that I think they kind of could bring back. And there's kind of a nostalgia for that sort of...
I agree.
Like, early... what's the like turn of the millennium kind of stuff at the moment?
Well, just early, just literally like early 2000s shit, like
Y2K stuff. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, 100%. Be cool. All right, we've gone longer on that than I thought we were going to, so let's speed things up with a rapid fire round. A plaque gifted to developers of the now infamous Concord has been listed for auction at a charity shop in the US. My question for the four of you, three of you, I'm the fourth. What would be your maximum bid for this piece of history? What would you be willing to part with in order for this commemorative plaque? This particular plaque.
How much did the game retail for?
It was like $60 release. Yeah,
$55. I'm not paying full retail for that game. It doesn't even work.
No, I reckon I could be. No, maybe not. James, what are you
well,
going?
You were its biggest fan, Ewan, so you deserve to have it.
8 out of 10.
It's not alone.
I don't know. I like, and if I bought it, like, it's got some girl's name on it. Like, I don't want, like...
yeah, the developer.
Like,
yeah.
Like, who is that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, just, I don't know who they are. But, like, I don't know. I just find that weird. Someone needs to interview her. Has anyone interviewed her? I'd be interested to see what
I'm
she
curious.
Has to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just you wouldn't want to add it to the shelf behind you, James? Like a little mentor?
With all the great gaming greats.
Big, yeah, good like conversation starter.
No.
James has just started clearing out some of his relics of the years past.
Yeah. Shannon, you've also got a shelf behind you. What would you pay to add to that?
I would pay for them to keep it just because I've got so much junk that I don't need anymore. Absolute trash.
But I reckon I'd be willing to go like drop $100 on this.
Is it being auctioned? Is that what's happening?
It is.
Yeah,
it's being auctioned.
Like $3,000 or something, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, if it goes for that, I'll buy it.
Let's crowd.
At the time I saw the reports, the highest bid on it was $2,500.
Let's crowdfund it. Surely we can get a group
charity
together.
Or what's the go? Like,
it's the development team.
It was at like at an op shop, I think, essentially. A Goodwill store.
Someone just donate it for free? I don't know
how it ended up there.
Okay.
But, yikes. Rip. Speaking of yikes, let's play What the Wiki, the Pressed Up Podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess with a round concluding after one person's bagged themselves 2 points. As last week's winner, James is in the hosting chair today. He narrowed the gap between him and myself. I'm sitting in first place on 17 points. James in second on 15. Brody, you're in 14 points, only just one behind James. So hopefully it's a favorable games for you today. Shannon, you're on 7 points and Harry is on 4. So there is the leaderboard. James, you're today's host. Take it away when you're ready.
Yes. Let me just get you guys.
So excited.
Thank you for joining me for my TED Talk.
Yeah.
It feels like how the Joy-Cons work on the Switch 2.
Yeah, I do feel
like it's a long show.
It's been a long day.
I can't believe the Switch 2 is coming out in an hour.
I think I'm really
3 dog years here. okay, let's go. This game's story begins when Void Co. stealing something amidst a gold rush happens.
Shannon.
I'm sorry, I'm just... Yes, Shannon.
Void bastards.
It's not. Sorry, Shannon. You play as a character sent to retrieve the stolen goods from the mines. The main character... I've had to edit this heavily because I don't want to give away too quickly. The main character is accompanied by someone Ewan. Who guides them. Yes, Ewan.
I'm taking it. Is it Spelunky?
No.
No, Sean the
Dog. The main character is guided by someone who guides them to their next objective. The game lets players explore sandbox-like levels in the underground world. The main character can roll, punch, slap, pick up, and throw objects and climb most surfaces. The player completes missions, solves puzzles, fights enemies, and collects the aforementioned stolen objects in the world. The goal of the game is to collect back the stolen goods by progressing through the story and or through exploration. This particular game is further distinguished through its destructible environments. The player character can smash almost every surface
Brody?
And...
Ewan?
Brody.
Is it Donkey Kong Bonanza?
It is Donkey Kong Bonanza.
I wasn't listening until it was true.
Okay, well, that's your fault.
It's like Shannon watching every cutscene ever.
Like, I literally, as I was answering that, I had Shannon send me a message or send us a message.
Yeah, exactly. I was busy. Can we just go? Continue. Mm.
The game is a multiplayer action role-playing game that features PvP and PvE gameplay for up to 8 participants. Players choose from over a dozen characters, each possessing unique weapons, including firearms, and abilities to compete across various maps. Players can customize their character in a dedicated hub area. Lore fragments are integrated into character customization items, specifically within each character's blood, history, and fate, which reveals details about the game world. By customizing a character's blood, history, and fate, players can adjust attributes such as abilities, appearance, and characteristics. These roles assign specific responsibilities and objectives during matches. Sorry. For example, the Destined Rivals role requires a player to find and defeat a designated rival, while the Destined Companion role tasks a player with seeking out a designated ally to earn a special reward. To aid in combat, players can summon companions. An event system can dynamically influence matches by introducing elements such as special enemy spawns and additional objectives. The matches conclude when only one player remains. Upon completion, players receive rewards regardless of the outcome, which can be used for character customization. This is going to be a photo finish now. The game is an upcoming action role-playing game developed... Yes, Ewan.
Is this Duskbloods?
It is Duskbloods, Ewan. Congratulations.
Truthfully, I had no idea how much detail was out about that game.
I didn't realize there was that much story out there.
Yeah. That's why I was like, cool, I'm using this.
Now I need to read up more about this game. It sounds awesome.
It actually sounds better than I thought. So
yeah,
good one, Miyazaki.
Funnily enough, I was like, "Is it Elden Ring Night Rain?" And then I was like, "I was thinking that halfway through." Yeah. Like, yeah. Mm. All right. Anyhow.
Okay, so that's Ewan on one, Brody on one, Shannon on none. This one, I need the exact title. I'm not accepting anything else. I'm setting that as the standard now, okay? I'm not interested in half answers. But I have faith.
Was it
in
the Duskbloods?
No, I said for this one.
Okay, all right.
The parameters have been set. This game is a sports video game centered around wheelchair basketball.
Brody.
Shit. Brody.
Now it's drag, X drive. It but is like drag cross drive, if you will.
Congratulations, Brody.
Thank you.
Thank you for the pronunciation and the spelling. Like, I appreciate both.
Big.
Congrats.
Well, with that, Brody, you've climbed above James. You're on 16 points there. It helps me picking up a point in the way because it's
upcoming Switch games, Switch 2 games.
Yes, Brody. Congrats.
I was so ready for that last one to be Bravely Default Flying Fairy HD Remaster or something like that. I was so ready.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the Zelda titles, which are like 17 words long.
I thought it was going to be Metroid because Shannon said it wrong earlier.
Mm.
honestly. But
all good ideas for next time.
I mean, no one failed as epically as I did last week saying Elder Scrolls.
That's pretty good gear.
You all avoided that. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG. Obviously, read all the Switch stuff and strap in for a big week. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. By the time... No.
No.
No, we'll still be, by the time you're listening to this, we could still be a day out for the Switch 2 launch. But stand by for a deep dive on that and probably the kind of weekend's worth of Summer Games Fest announcements on the next episode, I suppose. Also joining us today was James.
I'm on Twitter and X at James, @JAMZ.
And last but not least, it was Shannon.
Yeah, I'm at Shannon Grixty on everything.
Can we expect a bunch of Switch coverage from you? We're going to have like a bunch of videos and stuff going out.
100%. All of your accessory needs, best power banks, headphones, just be waiting for it.
Nice. Looking forward to it. I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.